Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Puppy Training Principles podcast, where we help dog owners find solutions to their biggest problems, avoid common training pitfalls, and build the confident, calm, family canine companion they've always dreamed of.
What are the things that people often don't think about with their puppy that they need to help prepare their puppy for is things like vet visits, visits to the groomer, somebody needs to be able to handle their puppy and the puppy still have a good, calm experience.
And it's one of those things that if you work on it with a puppy, it makes a world of difference moving forward when they're adult dogs. Because a puppy is a lot easier to work with, and sometimes it's like, okay, I can train them now because I can force them to make it happen. But when they get bigger, sometimes that's not a possibility anymore. It's not an option.
So we want to work with the puppy to be able to frame this experience as a calm experience and that they know how to relax and hold still. When we do things like restrain them because we need to hold their paw to trim their nails, we need them to stand on the scale at the doctor's, all sorts of things. For their benefit, they need to be able to be handled and restrained at times.
Yeah, and it's a hard principle sometimes. Like when we use the word restrain, like we don't like to hear that word, right? We want freedom. We want to do whatever we want. But boundaries or freedom requires boundaries. Freedom is for it to work, there's got to be some rules, some regulations, some restraints that we voluntarily put upon ourselves in order to make that work. And it's no different in the dog world. So we want to help them choose these boundaries, choose these restraints, and learn to play this game. And to make any good game work, you've got to have reward and you've got to have correction. You've got to put those two things together or it's not going to really be effective. If you only reward the good, great thing to do, then your dog doesn't necessarily know where the other boundary line is. So you have to be able to say no, and at the same time, say yes. Those are two beautiful words that work really well together. If you only say yes, it can be really frustrating.
Just like in sports, we need to have boundaries to be able to play this game. And then we want our dogs to have great experience in all of these places and not come out traumatized and have problems into their adulthood because in their mind, this is a stressful situation. So we start with training in a calmer, more familiar situation at home usually, and start to teach them how to have their paw held or be lifted up, all sorts of these sorts of things that will help them be ready for the groomers, for nail trims, for the vet.
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm sure Taylor Swift, when she gets on stage, she may still be a little nervous, but she is not as nervous as I would be if I was going to that same stage randomly to go ahead and sing a solo. Because that would freak the living daylights out of me. I would be stressed beyond, like, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be on YouTube, this is gonna be horrible. And if you're in our courses, you know some of my singing ability. It's not great, but I do it anyway, okay? So
anyway. But she started smaller.
She started small and she built up and she learned these skills. It's the same for our dogs. They're probably not gonna be singing on stage, right?
Probably.
But they need to have those steps so that they can learn to not be stressed at the doctor, at the vet, at the groomer, when their nails are getting clipped and maybe one time or two times you hit the quick and they're like, I didn't like that. That wasn't very fun. And they just had a bad experience. We want to work them through that.
We do that through, people often call it socialization. And we thought long and hard when we were doing the puppy program that, oh, it's not just that we socialize them to things, that we throw them in situations and hope that it turns out all right and that, okay, they were socialized.
Yeah, that's human socialization, right?
Yeah.
We're always like, go play on the playground, hope it works out.
Yep, you have not been socialized. You had social time. You were together in the same area. So we wanted it more purposeful than that. So we decided to call it composure training. So it is socialization, but we want to lean towards the fact that your puppy should be calm and composed throughout this training. So you do little step by little step, they are able to calm themselves down and be composed, and then we add a little more and we add a little more.
Yeah, this is what you do if you want your puppy to be good around a motorcycle or maybe you're wanting your dog to be a hunting dog and it's around firearms, whatever that is, whether it's going to the vet or something crazy like fireworks, it's the same process to help them get used and steps to help them get used to those things. In particular, we had the opportunity just recently to go visit one of our favorite breeders in the area, Green Valley Aussies, and to work with some of their dogs that are already amazing, right? They're just great, well-bred dogs, Aussies, Australian Shepherd dogs. And they let us come to kind of show this principle because they've noticed that there's a big lack of this in the world. When you go to the vet, you start seeing other dogs that are really struggling with this. Vets can tell you this, groomers can tell you this. And someone like Green Valley Aussies, breeders that go to the vet quite often with puppies can see this and have learned to teach their puppies to do things like this. So we took advantage of that opportunity to show some of this restraint and how to work these through these processes with a dog that's already done some of it. So when you want to teach a puppy to start to deal with restraint, you want to make it kind of a game. So we're teaching them to deal with pressure. Normally pressure, and I'm talking physical pressure here, when you're holding like a dog's paw or a dog's nose or their ears or their tail or whatever it may be and putting pressure on it, the first thing a dog wants to do is pull away. They don't like to be stuck in a situation. So the first thing is to just start by touching them, right? Yeah. Just a touch, not even a hold, just a touch in those areas and to mark that behavior. So for example, you might grab a dog's ear and then say yes, and then give them food. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, he touched my ear and I got food. That's cool. The next step is then to hold it a little longer. And right before they pull away, just a split second, right? We're just going up by little increments, let go and say yes, mark that behavior, and then reward with food. That process, you can use their whole meal to do this process over and over again, is to help them understand that when I hold still through this pressure, a reward is coming. Then adding increments of time, more and more time where you can hold or more and more pressure, you can get the dog to understand that, hey, this is how I play the game, and if I hold still, I get more. Do it with their paws, do it holding their snout, do it opening their lips so that you can see their teeth, do it putting a toothbrush on their lips, or on their teeth, on their lips, right? So that they can start to understand all of these different things.
And be patient. Remember that with puppies, it's little increments and little, you know, being able to hold it for 1 second or 2 seconds longer during a little mini training session, that's a win. So you're just going for little increments, which ultimately will go a long way for a puppy.
The next step then is if you have a puppy that is really food motivated and can't control that adrenaline and is like, no, I've got to go for the food, and or that is really nippy when you want to touch their paws, the next step is to add a correction and to take a slip lead or a leash and flick that leash away from the direction of what you're doing. Not too firmly, because we don't want them to say, oh, I'm never gonna eat food again, but which they always will go back to food, yeah. Right, ultimately. But like not to really break their confidence, but to just say, hey, no, and just at the level that they need. You kind of have to determine that based on the situation.
Based on the breed, their personality.
Yep, and that exact dog even,
yeah.
Right? So being able to say no, hey, don't just hork it down, to quote a Disney movie, right? To quote Ratatouille. Don't just hork it down, but to say no, you gotta wait till I give the cue word to get that food. Those two things, those bookends of rewarding and correcting, will help that dog walk that line. So you can even get to the point where you're hugging your dog. How many of us love to hug dogs, right? We wanna be able to snuggle with them. But the truth of the matter is, most dogs really don't like to snuggle at first.
Yeah. So you start small, yeah, by not even trying to hug them at first.
Yep.
By just touch. Your hands on their paws or shoulders, just little by little. Knowing where you're going is a great way to start. Like, okay, I want to end up here, and think back, how can you reverse engineer this? What's the smallest step we can take to start?
Ultimately, a dog is going to need to go to the vet and get shots, and it's not going to be a pleasant experience. But if we've worked with our dogs to be able to hold them tight so the vet can take some skin and
get where they need to,
inject them with their vaccinations and things like that, then a lot of times they've learned that I just learned to hold still, and then things go away and then rewards come. And although it's not pleasant, it can still be a good experience for your dog.
Yeah.
With grooming, you're going to have loud noises. So putting a loud noise far away, like a blow dryer or something, to practice razors, a lot of times we'll use an electric toothbrush just to get the sound. And you can push that sound further away and have them hold still. And then you say, yes, mark it, and give them food.
So, of course, there's the three that we've talked a lot about, the grooming and nail trimming and the vet. But think about your lifestyle, your specific lifestyle, and what do you want your dog ultimately doing? What are things that are around your everyday and what you want to be doing that you want them accustomed to? Whether that be you love boating, so you want them used to those loud noises and used to the water, and you do the same kind of principle little by little. Get them used to the situation you want them to ultimately be happy and confident, calm in.
Yeah, and there are some dogs that you just throw them into the situation and it works out. But I would rather not take that chance. And if it's already a struggle for them, they can actually still change now. Doesn't matter how old they are, we can change that perspective. And we love that about dogs, that they're so willing to change and do something new. But maybe they just want either that reward or that correction on either side to say, hey, nope, you just got to work through it. And their perspective starts to change. They start to say things like, wow, I thought that, if that person held my paw or if that razor made that sound, that I needed to run away. But since you took away that option, I worked through it. I breathed through it and I lived. It was great. Like, I'm okay. Maybe my thought process was flawed. Maybe I'll change. And they start to...
And then they do.
They do.
Dogs are good at that.
Yeah.
They're good at saying, okay, well, I guess I have to figure this out. And they will. And often as humans, we say, oh, no, they want to run away. And then we just let them. We let them run and hide under our legs, right? Instead of us saying, this is good for you. I have a purpose in doing this. And it will be okay. And let's do it.
Yeah, that can be one of the hardest things in life, I think, for us as humans, to stop and just say, hey, I know that this is a good thing, even though it's hard, and I'm going to continue to work through it and work and work and work until I reach my goal. And for our dogs, we want to help them develop that ability, because it's not always going to be the way they choose.
And they will do it. They're so fun that way. Where they don't hold on to stories and say, no, I had a bad experience once.
I had a bad experience.
They say, okay, thank you. Now I have continued to have okay experiences. Oh, and now it's better. And oh, I'm actually staying calm through this. And they just learn to work through it and to be calm and confident.
So with Green Valley Aussies, it was really awesome to be able to work with Bluey, their dog. And Bluey is gorgeous, but Bluey is also really excited to play the game. And she's done enough training, puppy training, and learning to work for things. And just she wants to play that game, that we're able to work with her paws and hold her paws and work with squeezing her tail. A lot of dogs with longer tails, they may have a bad experience where somebody steps on that tail. So you want to learn to put some pressure on it so they don't just automatically react, maybe even to whip around and bite somebody. Even though that's not fair to them, it's a reality.
Composure training is great for if you have kids or plan to have kids around. We want kids to treat dogs well, and we want to teach them that and to lay out boundaries. But the reality is, little kids, there's some variables there and things that may be out of your control. And so we want to be able to help that dog, that if that little two-year-old gets really excited and pulls on a tail, that we're not going to have a bite happen or something, right? Yeah.
Now, one of the things that's fun and that makes our dogs unique is that we can think of specific situations and plan those out. And we can say, okay, how would I help my dog get used to this situation? And there's definitely a ton of reps involved in that. And just experience, good experiences, helping them through the bad experiences. And it's awesome to see what we can accomplish that way, but it's gotta be specific to your lifestyle. And that's really the fun part, is that you have so many different options to train. Even if your dog is 10 years old or 10 months old or whatever age your dog may be, 10 weeks old, you can say, all right, I want to have this. I want to have my dog not run back and forth at the fence. And so you can work with the dog being calm in that situation and rewarding it or correcting it. And all of these things lead to building those boundaries. But ultimately, dogs have, you know, if we're gonna be cleaning their teeth and going to the vet, it's really awesome to see them start to live those boundaries. You wanna see a vet's or a vet tech's jaw drop, teach a place command with your dog and walk into the vet, and then they say, okay, let's weigh your dog, and you're like, place, and your dog just hops on the scale and just sits there. They'll be like, what? Do you know how many dogs I wrangle and try and get a weight?
I'm sure they wrestle dogs all day long.
Yeah.
So become your vet's new best friend.
That's right.
And train your dog. A huge benefit of doing composure training with your puppy or with your older dog is them being able to trust you. It's a relationship building thing.
It's what we really want.
Yeah. Where you can say, here's, like Jason said before, the correction end. Here's the boundary here, and the reward end of, yes, this is what we want.
In that direction.
And that they learn to be calm and composed in these different, sometimes difficult situations, and they learn, oh, I was okay. You helped me through that. And they learn to trust you through that process.
It's really a relationship building that way. So you can't get that kind of relationship by just saying, hey, do whatever you want, or hey, you know, mommy or daddy's gonna let you do whatever you want. You get away with this when you're around me. That will lead to distrust because they can't trust you to give them the boundaries that they need to feel confident and secure.
They don't know where their place is.
Yeah, and so real trust comes with using this, you know, a little bit of restraint, yes, but then also it leading to growth. Helping a dog become something, they start to say, I can trust this person. I want to be around them because they're the ones that are really going to help me become the best that I can be.
And we see that a lot in Green Valley Aussie's dogs. We see that level of trust that they've developed through training with their people and the dogs coming together and training well to lead to confident dogs.
Yeah, it was a super fun video to make because their dog, you could tell, loved to play this game and could trust them. And it was just really awesome. Awesome experience and awesome dogs. So shout out to Green Valley Aussies who helped us out with this. We loved working with them. They're great people and they have beautiful dogs. To see their website and their socials and things like that, just check the show notes.
If you want to know step by step how to do composure training and exactly when we feel is best to do composure training within the training of your puppy
and to see it in action,
then check out our puppy training course that you can get anywhere in the world.
Thanks, guys.